Well, that's good stuff, and we better realize what the Scripture says. Without Him, we can do nothing, but with Him, we can do all things. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, you can turn them to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you can find there verse 13. Now, as you're turning there, it's been often said you can tell where a preacher's at in his life by the sermons he preaches. You will be able to tell when I read the text, not only where the preacher is in his life, but where our church family is. Before I ask you to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word, let me just help you out where your church family's at. In the last 34 days, there's been 12 deaths in our church family or extended. If you know how to punch numbers, that's over, every 3 days, under every 3 days, we're averaging a death. 3 funerals a week, and I'll have one tomorrow, as well as one Tuesday. So, when a guy preaches from behind the pulpit, you often know where he's at in his life by what he's preaching. But what I'm preaching today, I'm just telling you, that's where we're at as a body of believers. Death has visited often these last 30 plus days. So if you found 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, I would have you to stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's holy, inspired, infallible Word. What I'm fixing to write to you was penned by the Apostle Paul, but don't ever forget the men that held the pens was moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Remember that 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 tells us all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So with that being said, try to get yourself in a little different mindset when I read this. Every word in the Bible has come right off the lips of God. Maybe that would give you a different perspective as to think what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, come right out of the mouth of Almighty God. With that being said, here's what come off His mouth. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. God, I ask you to bless the preaching of your word, save souls, change lives, comfort people. In Jesus' name. And all God's people, as they were seated, said. So these words are right off the lips of God Himself. He starts out in verse 13, says, I do not want you to be ignorant about those who sleep in Jesus. He wants to educate us. And when the word sleep is found in these verses, and if you caught it, it was several times, that's how God, off His lips, is referring to a Christian's death. So the first thing He wants to do, don't miss this, is He wants to mature you and teach you. He don't want us to be immature little babies. He wants to educate us on the subject of death. So how does He do it? He calls death what it is for a Christian, sleep. Now think about what God just done. He just told us as Christians, you don't need to fear death any more than you fear a nap. I want you to think about what God just said to us as Christians. You don't need to fear death any more than you fear a nap. Now, let's think about that. The Bible over and over tells us about babies in Christ and get off the milk and get on the meat. Got too many babies in the church. T.L. That's the grand boy. Now he'll get to acting plumb silly and miserable and get red-eyed and flailing around. And MJ ain't far behind it. She'll throw her just a little bit of a fit. But here's what, when TL starts doing that, here's what my wife says. I said, what's wrong with that boy? You ready for these? And I bet some of you ladies have said it in here before. He's scared to death. He's going to go to sleep. Little kids, they take naps. They don't want to take naps. So when they get sleepy, they go to throwing their arms around. They go to trying to move around because they are scared to death. They're going to go to sleep. That's a baby. Right? But let me ask you what happens when you get a little older. Yeah. Light's coming on, ain't it? Boy, I have the privilege of working with some of those retired men, and they say, man, we need to finish up. Why? Because 2 o'clock's my nap time. They're not doing what TL is at nap time. What are they doing? It's getting close to 2 o'clock. Welcome nap. Pick up what I'm putting down. God says, you guys don't need to fear death anymore than you fear a nap. Little ones, they try their best to avoid the naps at all cost. But older people, they welcome them. Come on, I'm ready. Isn't that the same thing? Morgan Whitmore, Bob Hazelwood, they buried wives of a lot of years this last week. You know what come off their lips? Lord, come and get me. They're a little older. They're a little wiser. You know what they're doing? They're welcoming death just like it's a good nap. Folks, that's what God just said to us. That's pretty encouraging as a Christian. You don't need to fear death any more than you fear nap. If that's all you come for today, that's encouraging. But then he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who've fallen asleep in Jesus, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. That's all verse 13. Okay, I know you're going to have some loved ones that take a nap. I know you're going to have some loved ones that go to sleep, that die. But here's what I'm telling you, my children, Christians, you don't have to sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, Miss Connie, that don't mean that you don't sorrow when you get the news of the death of your son. Georgia, that don't mean you don't sorrow when you lost your husband. Loretta, your husband. Jeff, your wife and your son. Your mom, John and Joe. That doesn't mean we don't sorrow when we lose our loved ones. It means we don't sorrow like the lost world. We still sorrow. It still hurts. Candy and Michelle can tell you it hurts. But Jesus is saying it don't hurt near as much for us that know Jesus Christ. Okay? So get this. He don't say we don't sorrow. He just says we don't sorrow the way the world sorrows. So has everybody got that? That's the piece of bread on top, verse 13. Now let's look at the piece of bread on bottom, verse 18. Therefore, that's how he finishes this chapter. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What do we know about Exciting Southeast when we find a therefore in the Bible? Stop long enough to see why it's there for. So therefore, in verse 18 is the bottom piece of bread. Verse 13 is the top piece of bread. Therefore, that meat, all those words in between there, that's the words that you find comfort in. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to welcome death like you welcome a nap. And you can comfort anybody that's going through death with these words. It's like a sandwich. 13's a piece of bread, 18's a piece of bread, and all those verses in the middle is some real good meat to chew on. And that's the meat that will comfort us. Are you ready for it? All right. Comfort one another with these words. Number one, we can find comfort in the redemption in His blood. You say, where's that at, preacher? Verse 14, if we believe He died. If we believe He died. That signifies the death He died. See, here's what you better understand. If we believe He died, you better understood what He understood and what He claimed in John chapter 10, verse 18, when He said, no man takes my life. I lay it down for them. Here's what Jesus understood. He understood what the Hebrew writer said when he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, understood that sin would always be taken care of by blood. Study the Word of God, you'll find that true in the first sin in the garden. When they tried to cover with fig leaves, God said, you've sinned, you've disobeyed, there will be the shedding of blood. Listen, He skinned two lambs, one for each of them, and covered their sin by the shedding of blood. When the children of Israel was in Egypt and they was going to be released, each family had to kill a lamb and apply the blood to the doorpost. It had to be dealt with blood. In the Old Testament, the Passovers, there would have to be a lamb slain for the sins of a nation. It had to be taken care of with the shedding of blood. But Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain not at, but before the foundation of the world. Do you realize on Calvary's cross that wasn't, well, I guess we're going to punt? Do you realize that was a plan before the beginning of time? And so at Calvary, He didn't spill His blood, my dear friends. When you spill something, that's an accident. He poured His blood out so that we might be redeemed from our sins. Now, when you do any kind of sport camp, I've had the privilege of getting to do some basketball, very few, but more of the rodeo camps. And when we're flanking and tying, it's all based on mistakes. We leave the stopwatch out of it. Speed jams. So we don't even get them out. It's all on mistakes, and somebody will mess up. And how many of you know one of them little old kids will go, Mr. Rob, can I have a chance to redeem myself? They've messed up and they say, Rob, can I have one more chance to redeem myself? And I mean, I try to be nice and most of the time I give them that opportunity and some of them do redeem themselves. Come back with a flawless run. Are you with me? Look up here and listen, every one of you. You might can redeem yourself on a court. You might can redeem yourself in a roping arena. You might can redeem yourself on your job. But you cannot redeem yourself from your sin. So you ought to find great comfort in that Jesus died and there's redemption in the blood that He shed, not spilt, but poured out on Calvary's cross, and we ought to just give Him a great big old clap offering for that blood. Amen. Because he done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He redeemed us from our sins. He redeemed us with his precious blood. Number two, we can be comforted not only because there's redemption in his blood, but we can be comforted because there's a resurrection from a borrowed tomb. See, aren't you glad verse 14 doesn't just say, if we believe that Jesus died? I mean, it goes on to say, and rose again. See, dead religion, listen, if you don't need something very long, I highly recommend don't buy it, borrow it. So Jesus, he had the same mindset as me. Hey, Muhammad and Allah, all them guys, they better go buy them a plot. Know why? They're going to need it for a while. But the Lord Jesus, when he poured his blood out on Calvary's cross and he died, he said, hey, I need to borrow somebody's grave. I don't need it very long. My Bible says a borrowed tomb. He knew he didn't need it. He borrowed it. So in Matthew chapter 28, what sets Christianity apart from all religions? It happens in Matthew 28 when the ladies are headed to the borrowed tomb to minister to the body of Jesus Christ who shed his blood for our sins. And when they get there, he's not there. And the angels say, listen, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. My dear friends, I am so glad we don't have a dead religion. We got a living relationship. And you ask me, how do you know he lives? Because he lives within my heart. How do I know he lives? He speaks to me when I open the pages of the Bible. He speaks to me when I'm on my knees and I pray and I get quiet. He speaks to me. I know he lives because he lives within my heart. And listen, we find great comfort when death visits our loved ones because there's redemption in the blood and because there's a resurrection from a borrowed tomb. But number three, we can be comforted because there's a revelation from the book. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That gets us out of 14, doesn't it? Are you looking at it? And doesn't verse 15 say something like, now correct me if I'm wrong, for this we say to you by the CNN reporter. Oh, you guys are more Fox people. For this we say to you by the word of the Fox News reporter. For this we say to you by Facebook. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Paul said, I'm saying this to you from his book. This is none other than the infallible, inerrant Word of God. Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica, listen, this isn't something I dreamed up. This isn't some concoction that I come up with. This is straight out of the blessed book we call the Bible. This is off the lips of Jesus himself, Almighty God. Listen, this ain't made up. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Comfort does not come from man's word. Comfort comes from God's word. Now, before I ever become a pastor, and I don't know the why of it, and I probably never will. I keep saying I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven, but I'm pretty sure when I get to heaven, I'll be in such awe, I forget all the questions I have. But I've always wondered why I preach so many funerals. And I wondered that because before I ever become a pastor, and that was 3 years into my Christian life, I had already done 8 or 10 funerals before I ever become a pastor. And I'm thinking, why is these people asking me to do funerals? But look up here and listen. Before I was a pastor until the day I die, if I did not have a copy of God's Word, Brother Dave, every person that asked me to speak at a loved one's funeral, my answer would have been, no, I will not. Because I would know without the Bible, the Word of God, I would have nothing to say that would bring them hope and comfort. But because I have the Bible, when someone asked me before I was a pastor, and someone asked me till the day I die, would you preach my loved one's funeral? Because I've got a Bible. I've got the Word of God. Guess what I say? Yes, sirree, Bob. Because I know I can bring comfort to a family by thus saith the Word of God. Now see, the world has it so backwards. Now if we really love somebody, our loved ones, are you with me? When they gain, are we happy or sad for them? When we love someone and they gain, are we happy for our loved ones or sad for them? We're happy, ain't we? But when it comes to death, see, the world says we lost them. It's what the world says. It's what man says. But Philippians 1, the Word of God says, to die is gain. So you've lost a loved one, and the world says you lost them. They're gone. They died. But the Word of God says your loved one's gain. So all of a sudden you get a little bit of a different mindset. Hey, I love them. And guess what? They've gained. It brings comfort, doesn't it? And then if you have a loved one, don't you love to see the Lord bless them? I mean, if you've got a loved one and you really care about them, I mean, blessing them with a good job, blessing them with this, blessing them with that. If you really love them, you love to see them blessed, do you not? And so when they die, we think, well, they got cursed, they died. That's what the world says. But what's the Word of God say? Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. So all of a sudden, I'm thinking they're cursed, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, my loved one's blessed. Doesn't that kind of where that hurt and that sorrow is bring a little comfort and a little hope? Be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. Folks, the Word of God, when death comes, can bring so much comfort. Friday evening, I was called by a cousin and asked if I would come and see my great uncle that he was on his deathbed. My grandpa come from a big family, and there's only two of those boys left, and now one. And so with all this death going on, they called and they said, we want you to come over. I said, I'll be over about 9 in the morning. My family's gone and there's a lot of feeding to be done around this barn before I can come. And I said, I'll be there at 9. And in the midst of me feeding yesterday morning, my cousin called and said, well, he didn't make it. If you're going to see him, it won't be this side of heaven. But would you come on over anyway? And so I finished up what I was doing, and I drove over to Salina. I drove up to his house. They hadn't picked up his body. We sat in there, and we talked a little bit. And they was headed after his body. And Miss Eunice walked over there to Mr. Delbert, just his corpse. And she began to cry uncontrollably. Been married as long as they have, and I mean, you become one flesh, and I mean, her flesh has been ripped. You with me? She's weeping. We have a house full of grandkids. And I mean, it goes on what seems like forever to me. And I keep asking the Lord, man, guide, direct what I do. And all of a sudden, he just moved me, Brother Dave, right over there beside Miss Eunice. He just took my old left arm and put around her. And all of a sudden, the 23rd Psalms just started flowing out of my mouth. Wasn't man's word. It was the Word of God. And all this time, she's been weeping. She's been crying. And I come to that part, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I just had my head bowed and my eyes closed, still feeling her weeping and shaking under my arm. And all of a sudden, it just kind of got quiet. And Miss Eunice said, he's the God in the valley, just like he's the God of the mountain. And she realized at that moment, from the Word of God, he's going to walk her through this valley she's in. Folks, we ought to find great comfort in the redemption in the blood, the resurrection from a borrowed tomb, but thanks be to God, the revelation of the book called the Bible. We say to this, we say, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. If it was not for the Bible, folks, we'd be in trouble looking for comfort anywhere else. Number four, we can be comforted because there's a return known as the blessed hope. Now, it's known as the blessed hope because when Paul wrote to Titus, what did he say? He said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we should live soberly and righteously godly in this present age. Ready for the next verse? What are you supposed to be doing while you're doing that? Come on. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So while we're down here as Christians, Paul's telling Titus, go ahead and keep an eye toward the east. Huh? Because we're supposed to be looking for this blessed hope. That's the return of Christ. Now look right there in our text. I said between these two pieces of bread, verse 13 and verse 18, there's some good meat, and right here's some of it. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Huh? He's not going to send nobody. Often when I call somebody, and now you coming or you sending somebody? I need my pastor. Let me tell you something. The Lord ain't sending nobody. He knows we need the Master. He's coming himself. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. Man, I look forward to that day, Brother Harold. Two things in this return called the blessed hope. Are you ready for them? It says it right here in our text. Number one, there's the resurrection of the sleeping. It said he's going to bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And then it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, some of you thought that was some of the churches that you used to attend. Thought they was going to be raptured out first because they was dead in a government job at 4 o'clock. That ain't what it means. It means those who have died in Christ, they're going to be the first to rise. Okay? So he's going to bring with him their souls, the real them. And when he comes on the cloud, then the graves are going to be open and those bodies be put back together. Now, I'm going to have to correct something. Partially. I've always told somebody, you don't need to go hang out at the cemetery. They're not there. And I'm partially going to fix that. You don't need to live at the cemetery. But I encourage you, I learned something this week. Visit it. Because where would there be a better place to be when Jesus come back than beside a cemetery? You just think about that. Would there be a better place to be when Jesus comes back than in a cemetery? I still don't think you need to live there, but I think it sure don't hurt to visit them. Let me tell you why. Because death to a Christian is like a nap. They're asleep. That grave is where our loved ones are napping. Now, do you know what happened? My family's gone, and they're headed back this way right now as we speak. But they left on Wednesday for this Ashley graduation trip. And so several of the, my mom, my daughter-in-law, my daughter, some friend, they've been in Florida. And so right before this on Monday, my wife begins to inform me how this is going down. We're leaving on Wednesday at noon. Listen, I didn't care when they left. But when she said Wednesday, I thought, oh no. Do you guys know what Wednesday is at my house? That's TL day. That's TL day. And I begin to think, now they don't trust me with Truett over 25, 30 minutes at a time. And so if my family is leaving, I'm going to get stripped of my TL day. So she tell me this Monday, and I said, now wait a minute, about Wednesday. Now that's our TL day. Yep. I said, so am I just keeping him when you guys leave? Will he just stay with me and I'll pack him up and take him to church and then his mama can pick him up there like we normally do when we're together? What's this mean Wednesday? Doesn't matter to me about what you guys are doing, but I need to know what MNTL is doing, and I need to get that up front and settled. And she said, well, I don't know. I'll check. So look here. She sends me a text later today, and she says, he's going to stay with us till about noon, and then his mom's going to pick him up and take him to her mom's. And I mean, it just let the air out of me, James. I mean, my lip went to quiver. And so I'm thinking, well, I'll just get a good half a day in. Well, because of some things I had to do, I had to leave early Wednesday morning. And so about 9:45, I get a text from my wife. She says, Reagan's coming to get TL at 11 o'clock, and I just wanted you to know, if you want to come and see him, you better get out here. It's 9:45. She's picking out. I got an hour and 15 minutes. I'm about 20 minutes from the house. So I think, here's all I got to do. There's TL. Why do today what you could put off tomorrow with this stuff? I'm going to put that off. I'm going to go see TL. Now, my wife just sends me this text, Steve. So I hustle back out there, and I get out there, and I open that cabin door, and I step in, and my wife goes, shh. I had to call her outside. You put him to sleep? You just text me and told me if I wanted to see him, get out here, and you put him to sleep? Well, he just kept, I hot shot him. Whatever you need to do, keep him awake till I get here. So there he is. He's in our little cabin on the love seat asleep. I'm looking at the clock. I'm thinking his mom's going to be here in 40 minutes. And you know how it is, guys. Shh. So I'm not talking, but that love seat ain't very big, so I'm talking to my wife going. So finally I thought, dadgum, he ain't going to wake up. But I'd run out there to do something outside, but I caught myself, Miss Debbie, on that side beside, running back up her that cabin door and cracking it, looking in there. You picking up what I'm putting down? Because I wanted to be there the minute he opened his eyes so we could hang out together. And that's when the Lord spoke to me. I don't think you need to live at the cemetery, but I don't know that it hurts to run to the cabin door every once in a while. Why? Because we've all got some loved ones that's napping. And it sure would be nice to be there the very second that they awake from this nap called death. Amen. So at this return, there's going to be the resurrection of the sleeping. But at this return, right after there's the resurrection of the sleeping, do you read it in there? This is some good meat between two pieces of good bread. Then there's going to be the rapture of the saints. Because then we who are alive and remain is going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord and them in the air. So are you with me? So, you know, we got all these people, I don't believe in that rapture and that Jesus stuff. Well, let me tell you something. You will. So, me and Marty was talking about this. I said, man, you be at the cemetery when all that happens, and then you know you're fixing to... See, so here's how I want it to play out. I don't know if the Lord will bless me like this, but I want to be at the cemetery, and when I see my loved ones wake up from the nap, I'm going to say, hey, see you in a minute. And then I want to run and find a couple of those guys that want nothing to do with Jesus. They don't want to repent of their sins. And I know the rapture's fixing to take place. I want to get right in between them, Dave. And when we're fixing to rapture up, I want to get each one of them by the arm. And when we're... And when we get about 35,000 feet, I want to look at them and say, hey, guys, remember that deal you told me you didn't want nothing to do with Jesus? Have you changed your mind? Because I'm fixing to let go of you. Huh? Huh? Folks, listen to me. It's going to be a sad day for those that don't want anything to do with Jesus when their saints are raptured out. Because they're going to find somehow, some way, cars that run off the road, piles of clothes that are left behind. because the saints are up, up, and away. I find great comfort in knowing my loved ones are just napping and they're going to wake up and we're going to be taken up to have a great celebration. Amen. Lastly, and I'll be through, we can be comforted because the reunion of the bride. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first. And look at verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Folks, there's a reunion day coming. Now, you know what happens? It's summertime. Have any of you been contacted by your classmates this summer? None of you? They must really not like you. Thank you. Because in the summer, what happens? Class reunions. I can't believe, did you guys not go to school? Or maybe it just wasn't your year. It's 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I'm waiting for 35, folks. You know how many of those class reunions I've been to? When I get those invites and those reminders, I say, self, you know the ones I really like, I see them when I want to anyway. Them ones I'm not real crazy about seeing, they'll be there. So I think I'll just go to Brahms, have some ice cream by myself. Listen, if you love your class reunions, love them and keep going. I don't get too excited about them. And there's another reunion, you get something in the mail. Sellers family, Pierce family, Taylor family. I mean, if I beat my wife to the mail on a family reunion, I get that thing as far away from her as I can. You know why? I don't get too excited about family reunions. You don't know why? You probably figured that out on the first one. The family that I want to see, I go see. The family I'm not crazy about seeing, they're going to be there. Hey, let the other family entertain them. I don't look down on none of you folks who go to class reunions. I hope you don't look down on me for not getting excited about mine. I don't look down on any of you folks that get excited about family reunions. I hope you don't look down on me for not getting too excited about mine. But look up here. There's a reunion that I read about. And I'm just going to get right down and real honest with you. I'm pretty fired up about it. Because there's some people that I'd sure like to talk to. I'd sure like to sit down with them. And it ain't going to happen at a class reunion, the ones I'm talking about. It ain't going to happen at a family reunion. I'm going to get to sit down and talk to them when that eastern sky splits and they come again. And here's what I know as I look across the room today. There's a whole bunch of you that's excited about that reunion. Because sometimes the people we want to talk to the most, we can't. But when that day comes, we can. Amen. And I just really believe with all my heart when we're so excited to see a grandpa, an uncle, a brother-in-law, maybe it is a classmate, a spouse. Have you ever thought about we're so excited to see them and they're not going to be near as excited to see us? They're going to be excited you're there, but I promise you, they're going to take you and they're going to sprint you to the throne of Jesus. Miss Loretta's back there. Out of all these deaths these past 30 days, I prayed with Randy probably about 30 minutes before he would leave planet Earth. But even before that prayer that me and Miss Loretta got to have around his bed, before Miss Loretta got there, I happened to be in that ICU room when they was working on him. And I happened to meet eyes with Randy while they was working on him. Now, I've seen Randy get tickled, and I've seen Randy get a little big-eyed, but I never seen Randy get as big-eyed as he did that day. As they was working on him, and I was about from here to Steve from him, I was just looking at him, and his eyes would meet mine, and they'd get real big, and they'd leave me, and they'd look up. They'd come back to me, and they'd look up. Because of his ventilator, they had them white mitts on and they had his hand tied down. But that hand could probably raise about 10 inches. And about that third time, those eyes got big, they met mine, and then they went back to straight up. And with that mitt, as far as it could come back. And when I got that call, about 30 minutes after that visit, Marty Brock and I was at that Bible camp. Marty and I concluded, we just didn't think death was that close. But we concluded when them eyes was getting big and look at me and up and me and up and then his best to raise that hand, we concluded that Randy Ross was experiencing something we wasn't experiencing. If you're listening, say, I am. We concluded he was probably seeing someone we wasn't seeing. And that's probably why he was big-eyed and wanting to lift his hand up. And that's why his eyes probably kept leaving up and coming to mine and back up, because he was probably wanting me to see what he was seeing. But because of one Tuesday morning in an old Mack truck, I didn't get to see it that day. But because of what I did one Tuesday morning in an old Mack truck, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I believe with my heart and I've confessed with my mouth the resurrection from a barred tomb. And one day, I'm going to get to see what Randy Ross seen. And that's none other than Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Amen. Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Christians, we ought to move out of those seats into these altars and we ought to thank the Lord for a reunion that's coming. Christians, we ought to move out of those pews into these altars and we ought to thank the Lord that there's going to be a return called the Blessed Hope. Christians, you ought to step out of those seats and you ought to fill these altars and thank God for the revelation of the book called the Bible. Because without it, we have no hope, we have no comfort. Christians, these altars ought to be full because of the comfort and the wisdom and knowledge God give us today. But then if you're here today and you're lost, you ought to step out of that seat and you ought to come right up here and let one of us show you how to give your heart and life to Jesus so that when death comes for you or Jesus comes for the church, you'll get to see what Randy Ross saw that day and you'll get to spend eternity in heaven. If you need to be saved, you need to step out. You need to come this morning. Not going to embarrass you, just going to show you from the Scriptures how to take care of it. Father, right now I pray you have your way in the hearts of us, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?